time to play the game. Time to play the game! It's all about the game and how you play it.
All about control.
And if you can take it,
all about your debt.
And if you can pay it,
it's all about pain.
And who's gonna make it?
And welcome, whatever you are, whenever you're listening, this is The Bootleg, the Italian podcast on American football with Sicilian and Briazzolo accent, but especially tactical. I am Emanuele Sortino from Allen's Park, Colorado.
And this is a pretty tense Alberto Cantu from Usmate Velate, Monza Brianza County. Pretty tense, Eman, because as you can tell from my jersey, that none of you can see because you're listening to a podcast, I'm wearing an Inter Milan jersey because Inter Milan is playing in an hour the semifinals of Europa League, and I'm super tense. But this is not the time to talk about football. It's time to talk about American football. Emma, boy, do we have a guest for you guys.
Oh, so you know we are speaking English, so it's a good one. So let me put the music.
If Pyros and Crips all got along, they probably got me down by the end of the song.
From California is a writer from The Athletic, one of the most respected tactical analysts for X's and O's, the voice for The State of the Nation, the podcast show on Las Vegas Raiders, with us, Ted Nguyen.
What's going on, guys? Thanks for having me on.
Hey, Ted. Thank you for coming. Thank you for coming.
Actually, we wanted to introduce you, Ted, as the purveyor of the U22, which is your fantastic bio on Twitter, which is actually
That's
true
because it's in the other line, and then I just read that. That's all experience.
No problem, because actually it is true. You are sort of a purveyor of the old things. Me and Emma and plenty of other Italian football fans have been learning the game thanks to your articles on The Athletic. So we thank you so much for those articles and for giving us the chance to talk to you in person during this pod. So the first thing we would like to ask you is sort of a general question about one of the articles you wrote that I most enjoyed. It's from last year and it's called How to Watch Football Like an Expert from the Comfort of Your Couch. So since not all of us have all 22, what tips would you give to a regular fan that wants to watch the game with a more critical eye live on TV? So where should their eyes go while they're watching the game?
First of all, thank you for having me on. I think it's awesome that, you know, you guys are watching football in Italy, and I hope that the game continues to grow internationally. And, you know, I love that, you know, I could help educate fans internationally that might not have as much exposure to the game. And as far as your question goes, yeah, you know, football is a little weird because, you know, there's 22 players on a field, but the camera angle they show on TV doesn't show 22 players on a field all the time. It's focused on a ball, so you don't see exactly what's going on. And it helps to see all 22 players because you need to see 22 players to kind of distinguish what's going on when you want to watch at a higher level or want to learn more about what's going on. But since you can't, I think the best thing to do is to watch the offensive line, because what the offensive line does, they it's hard for them to lie. You know, like the quarterback can lie. He could fake a play action. He could, you know, fake like he's dropping back and throw a screen. But the offensive line, they can't lie. They could maybe do a little deception, but as far as what they're going to do, they have to execute either run blocks, they have to execute their pass blocks. You can see them leaking out on screens. So if you recognize their responsibilities on certain plays, yeah, just watch them, and then you can tell exactly what's going on.
Great.
So, yeah, one of the problem. I'm trying to make a video trying to explain all the Italian, the rules of American football, to try to find a shot where there are all 22 players. It was complicated. That is definitely true. Then, second question is when we are recording, we have that Kittle and Kelce just signed a big contract. Why do you think they are so important in their scheme, and what it was the how we can you evaluate them compared to what it was, the position of the tight end many, many years ago?
Yeah, I think the position of tight end has, you know, it's been going through a metamorphosis for a long time. They're now more big wide receivers, you know. Like, you have these guys that can run block, and they are valuable to a certain extent. But when you're looking for a tight end nowadays, you're looking for guys that could present matchup problems in the NFL. And Travis Kelce is a perfect example of that. He's a guy that, you know, he's not a bad blocker, but he's not a great blocker, and he's not asked to block very often in that Kansas City offense. He's just a very, very savvy route runner, extremely reliable receiver, explosive receiver, and he plays an offense that perfectly suits his skill sets. Like, he's not being asked to line up in a three-point stance and make run blocks all the time. He's usually split out right next to the offensive line, or he's even split out at wide receiver sometimes. And he's asked to run a lot of routes, and, you know, he's just perfect for that Kansas City style of spread offense, air raid system that, you know, passes the ball like crazy with Patrick Mahomes. And George Kittle, to me, is a better player because he's not as good as a receiver as Travis Kelce, but, I mean, he's no slouch, obviously. He's the second best receiver in the NFL. He's better with getting yards after the catch, and that perfectly suits what the Niners try to do because they're a short passing offense that asks him to catch the pass. You know, he'll catch deep passes too, but he catches a lot of short passes on play action, and he makes the most out of him with his ability after the catch. And he's just a dominating run blocker. I mean, you know, this is a guy that's like on the level of Rob Gronkowski when it comes to blocking an edge, and that's so important in an outside zone system like the Niners run. So he's a perfect fit for what the Niners do too. He could run block on the edge, and he could turn a 3-yard pass into a 20-yard catch after the catch. So those two guys are just very well suited for their offenses. To me, Kittle edges out Kelce just because of how dominating he is in both run blocking and in pass catching.
To your point, Ted, I have the PFF profile of Travis Kelce in front of me, and he played more snaps at either slot or X receiver than he did as an inline tight end. So I think stylistically, Kelce is more innovative as a tight end, while Kittle, to your point, is more effective because of the way he run blocks. And about this, you wrote a magnificent article on The Athletic, I think it was a month ago, about how the running scheme that Shanahan uses in San Francisco is so hard to stop. And I think Kittle has a big, big part in this because of how he blocks, how he is coordinated with his line. And do you think that if we switched the two of them, which would be better? Because I saw a little bit of a discussion on Twitter about this. So if we put Kittle in Kansas City and Kelce in San Francisco, which of the two would be a better player, if we can say so?
I think, you know, they both will do well because they're both just great at what they do. But I think George Kittle will be able to adapt to the Kansas City offense a little bit better than Kelce would adapt to the Niners offense. You know, Kittle will, he's gonna break records because he'll have 1,000 yards receiving in Kansas City's offense because he'll get more targets, but they won't be as wide open as they would be in the Niners offense just because of, you know, the play action factor there. Yeah. But with Kelce, I don't think he'll be asked to block as much as Kittle would in Shanahan's offense because that's just not what he's good at. But he still, Shanahan will find a way to mask his deficiencies in run blocking, as well as get him the ball in pass catching too. But I think it will be an issue that Shanahan, or it would be an issue that Shanahan has to deal with if Kelce was his number one tight end.
Another question that just popped in my mind: what do you think is the next big tight end from the one from the rookie class, of the sophomore class?
I mean, TJ Hockenson, I think, is extreme. Very, is a very, very good player. He's not as dominant of a run blocker, but as Kittle, but hardly anybody is. But Hockenson could be one of the better run blockers in the league, and he has a lot of he has a good feel for the pass game, how to get open, how to use his body, and enough athleticism to be a matchup problem. So I'm looking forward to see how he does as a Lion. And Darren Waller from the Raiders is not quite a sophomore, but you know, last year was his first year really playing the position full time, and you saw how athletic he is. And he's actually a decent run blocker for a guy that, you know, has more of a wide receiver body. And yeah, so people underestimate the way he blocks, but he's a pretty effective blocker, and he's just way too fast and too big for you know, for people to match up on him regularly. So I'm excited to see what he can do in his second year playing the position.
Great. So Emma, now it's your time.
So
it's AFC West rivalry time.
So I read, like, crying, your opinion on Locke. You wrote the article like a month ago, more or less. And I mean, I like to watch the All 22. I know he has a lot of defects, but you pointed so many that I never noticed that I'm not sure anymore about him. What are your thoughts about him? You think he can improve, or it's another bust from Elway?
No, I think it's way too early to call him a bust for sure. I mean, I did not like him as a first round quarterback coming out of the draft. And I mean, he was drafted in the second round, so yeah, it's not like Elway reached in the first round to get him. So there's some value there. But I think, like you said, there are things he has to work on. And he did make a dramatic improvement from where he was when he graduated, or when he entered the draft, to where he was when he finished the season. So there were some, you know, there were some big developments in his game. Still has more development to go. Some of the numbers are, you know, when you get to the advanced stats, are a little worrisome. Are very worrisome, but you know, he has a much better receiving core next year, and if he continues to you know, grow and develop in things like his footwork, has to get more disciplined. Like, he can't drift in the pocket, and you know, Baker Mayfield was a guy who did a lot of drifting, and he put his offensive line compromised because the offensive line is they know you're supposed to block to drop back to a certain point, but if you drop back too far, they're not going to be able to block in that area. So I think Locke did that a lot in college, and you saw that in the NFL as well. But I think it did get better. He didn't do it as much, and he also made some big plays. And you saw he has that ability to make those wild throws, and he's athletic too. So it's, you know, he has some things going for him, but he has some major strides he has to make, continue to make in his game, in order to really prove that he can be the Broncos franchise quarterback.
But you think with the Shermer cure, he will get better? Because one of my points was that Scangarello, that was the previous offensive coordinator, he was not aggressive at all. Mm-hmm. And I think that was one of the reasons why he struggled. He was struggling so much. What is your opinion on that? Do you think that with the Shermer cure, he will get better? Also, knowing what he was the head coach for Daniel Jones, and then in Minnesota too.
Yeah, I think that style of offense doesn't fit his strength well, but he did execute really well running those boot concepts, play action concepts on a move. But I think, yeah, having a more aggressive play caller like Shermer, who, you know, when I studied his offense, I actually liked it a lot more than I thought I would. And, you know, he's just a really clever play designer. He knows how to set things up and get those shot plays in, which will take advantage of Locke's big arm. And Shermer has a lot more experience as an offensive coordinator, a lot more experience as a play caller than Scannarillo had. Coming in, so just that experience and ability to game plan and to put more aggression in the game plan should help Locke out.
And thank you for the answer. Instead, remaining on the quarterback in the AFC West, one of our colleague, we do a podcast with him, is also a big Raider fan, and he asked your opinion on Carr. He thinks that this is the do or die season. What are your impression on Carr?
Yeah, I think, you know, I was very high on Carr initially, especially coming into 2016. He has all the tools you want in a franchise quarterback. He's athletic. He has a lot of arm talent. I mean, he doesn't throw deep often, but when he does, you can see how pretty his deep ball it can be. And, you know, he just was never a really great quarterback when it comes to making plays out of structure. But I think that he actually got better at it last season. But just the aggression level in Carr is just not where it needs to be. There are times where he will settle on just moving on from you know, his deep reads too quickly or intermediate reads too quickly and go to his check down, where I think he should take a little bit more time and let things develop a little bit more. And he just hasn't done that consistently in the last couple of years. And that might be because he doesn't have great trust with his wide receivers. And hopefully that turns around this coming season. But I mean, yeah, this is, you know, last year was supposed to be his make or break year, but he did what he always does, which is kind of play at a very high level some games, and then other games he just kind of disappears. So he's just at that level where he's a tough quarterback to replace because he is good, but at the same time he's just not the quarterback that is, you know, that is making his team into a consistent contender. So yeah, I mean, this year he really has no excuses. They drafted a couple wide receivers they're excited about, and Henry Ruggs and Brian Edwards. He has, you know, Waller established, Tyrell Williams is healthy. So yeah, I think this year is that final make or break year for him. So we'll see what happens.
But Ted, I do agree on almost everything you just said. And first of all, our friend and colleague who asked us to ask you this question is called Marco Santini. I think he's your biggest Italian fan ever, so I had to mention him directly. But I think the point is, you're right. Last year was supposed to be Carr's do or die, make or break year. But I think the whole Antonio Brown situation sort of gave him some leeway, an alibi, so to say, for how the season went. Because I think, especially during the middle of the season, the Raiders were actually playing good football. It wasn't explosive football, because maybe, and then that's what I would like to ask you, if you think the way they played last year was more due to the fact that they didn't really have a deep threat. I think Hunter Renfro led the team in reception. It was either him or Waller. So a slot receiver and a tight end. They lacked that deep threat. But I think there was plenty of good to take from last year, especially from a play-calling standpoint. Because I remember doing a video breakdown of one drive of the Lions-Raiders game, which I think was one of the best Raiders game from last year. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you remember. It was the drive where Carr had a wheel route for a Jalen Richard, and then the drive ended with the Hunter Renfro touchdown. It was a really good drive, well-executed, well-schemed up. But I think the Raiders really lacked that deep threat, or at least something more from the receivers. And so my question is, do you think last year was the conservative style was meant to be that way, or was it because they lacked a deep threat? And if so, is Ruggs, Henry Ruggs, the answer to these problems?
Yeah, I think last year a lot of the playbook was designed around Antonio Brown coming into the season. So obviously losing him was huge, and they had to adjust, and they played to their strengths. And their strengths was that massive offensive line. Josh Jacobs was, you know, a revelation at running back. So I think they played to their strengths. They didn't have a lot of wide receivers, but they knew they could run block. And, you know, they did that very well, and it worked in some games, but in games where they fell behind, they just couldn't stick to the run game as much. And that was a problem. You know, if you want to have that type of offense where you run the ball consistently and run the ball with power, then you're going to have a solid defense. And the Raiders had one of the worst defenses in the league last year. And, you know, when you do that, you can't run the ball as much. So I think, you know, this year they will be better. I think a healthy Tyrell Williams makes a big difference. Henry Ruggs is going to be an instant deep threat right off the bat. I mean, I don't know if he's going to be a 1,000-yard receiver his rookie year, but if he could at least make defenses back off and keep a safety out of the box, then he'll do his job. So I think next year they're going to again want to try to lead into the run, but be a little bit more balanced with some wide receivers that they're excited about.
So you're thinking that Carr fits the Coach Gruden's play style, or because
I think
Gruden has some. Some thoughts like that Carr is not fitting in a system. Also, for the way they are talking, I don't know if when you watch the game, there is the sideline talk. It's always like weird. I don't know how to explain, but they look like, yeah, we need to live together, but because of contract, they are not like good mates.
Yeah, I think it's interesting because Carr does do a lot of things that Gruden wants. You know, he's very accurate. He knows where to go with the ball. He's safe with the ball. But I think, you know, even just his conservatism at times is maddening for Gruden even. So I think Gruden does want Carr to be more aggressive. But I think Carr does fit what Gruden wants to, you know, wants in a quarterback. He does a lot of the things that he wants his quarterback to do. But yeah, I just think that every once in a while, Carr has to be more aggressive, and I think it frustrates Gruden sometimes.
Besides to run on the pile and fumble the ball, that more than that.
Yeah, more than that, and no more throwing the ball away on fourth down.
That was one of the weirdest stuff. Throw the ball on fourth down. Bad. God, I forgot that.
Yeah, I think this year, then before we move on, I think this year is going to really test Carr also psychologically. Because I think he just said he wants to play because he wants to stop being disrespected. I think he feels the criticism, and like he's going to have to be able to take the criticism, and show the haters that there's more to him than what we saw after that great 2016 season. Okay, Ted, before we say goodbye, we would like to ask you a question about defense. Because when we had Brett Coleman on, we talked with him about offenses, but we really want to have like an expert's point of view about defense, and especially since defense is really unstable, like defensive performance is really unstable year to year. There's going to be, next season, there's going to be defenses that come almost out of nowhere, like the 49ers last year, and they're going to impose their performance on the offense. So which defenses do you think are ready to make that leap into the elite tier?
There are some, you could talk about the Cowboys, who have an insane defensive line. But,
Gerald McCoy just broke his MCL.
Yeah, I think they said he ruptured his quad.
Or tendon. Yeah, quad tendon, right.
But they still have a lot of pass rushers, yeah, even without Gerald McCoy, unfortunately. But, I'm looking forward to what the Dolphins do on defense. Ooh. Because
Dolphins? Okay.
They showed some improvement towards the end of last year. That Brian Flores is obviously bringing that really aggressive style of defense from the Patriots to the Dolphins, and there are times where he would go cover zero blitz even when the other team was going empty, and he was just he was so adamant about doing that. So I'm curious to see if that style of defense and his dogmatic approach to doing things will end up working for the Dolphins, who did play some good football towards the end of last year. So I'm curious to see what the Dolphins defense does.
Do you think they're going to keep that same Belichick footprint? So we play a lot of man coverage on the back end. We bring cover zero whenever we want. And in general, we stick to man coverage, even though their two best corners, which are Byron Jones, who came from the Cowboys, and Xavier Howard, who was already there, seems to be more suited to a zone style of defense. because I think what they have on the back end is really, really interesting, but I'm not sure the system they ran last year is the best to make advent. Yeah. What do you think about it?
I think they're going to stick to man. I mean, that's just what Flores does. I don't see him as a guy who's going to waver on his style of defense. I think Howard and Jones can play man. I think they can hold up in man. But they're going to have to be better with their pressures. I mean, you can't play that style of man coverage aggressively without getting to the quarterback with those stunts and sim pressures and creepers and all the things they do. Yeah, I'm curious to see what they do. They have, I think, one of the better cornerback pairings in the NFL going forward, and they played some good football at the end of last year, so we'll see what happens.
And then there is Fitz Magic. So
yeah.
What about your Raiders defense? Like, I saw you just released an article about their cover six, that, like, Paul Gunter's cover six. Do you think they have the horses on defense to at least not be the last one of the worst defenses in the league?
Yeah, I think a lot will depend on how their corners develop, because Trayvon Mullen played some good football last year. You know, I think some fans are overly excited about what he did, but he definitely showed the potential to be a very good corner in this league. And obviously they drafted Damon Arnette in the first round as well. They have Prince Amukamara. So they have some interesting, like Isaiah Johnson will be in a rotation next year. But they have nobody proven. They have a bunch of interesting corners, but nobody that's proven. So it really depends on how they develop. But I really like what they did with Corey Littleton and Matt Kwatski. They're going to be a lot tougher to create matchup problems with those two guys who cover very well in the middle of the defense. So, you know, I think they'll be better. You know, how much better would be a question. If they could get out of the be a, you know, top 20 defense, like somewhere in the 19-18 range, I think the team would be dramatically better. But if they're worse than 20 with the style of offense they want to play, I just don't see how the team's going to be very good. And again, that's going to really develop fall on how the corners develop.
Great.
So let me do just the last question, actually. It can be split in two. So what will be your ranking, your prediction for the end of the season for the AFC West? And do you have in mind what it can be a way to stop the Chiefs or how to beat them?
Chiefs are just... defensively they played good ball last year defensively, but I don't know if they're gonna, you know, we've seen the Chiefs just kind of been bad defensively the last few years, except for the end of last year, so we'll see if they can keep that up. And I think you have to be able to run the ball on the Chiefs and control the clock, and that sounds like such an old school type of answer, but I just think, you know, that's
championship 2018 basically.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you have to keep the ball away from Patrick Mahomes, and the weakness in their defense is their run defense. And you know, the Niners did a good job with them for 3.5 quarters, but they just couldn't finish the game. So you have to be able to pound the ball and keep the ball away from Patrick Mahomes, because if you play a game where you're just trying, you know, you're in a shootout, you're not going to win many shootouts with the Kansas City Chiefs. So as far as AFC West, I think, yeah, Chiefs are going to be number one. I'm going to be a little partial to my Raiders and say the Raiders are going to finish number two. Broncos three, and even though the Chargers have a ton of talent on the team, I don't know about Tyrod Taylor, so I'm going to say they finish fourth.
What are your opinion on Herbert?
I wasn't in love with Herbert. I think he is very similar to Derek Carr, where he throws a beautiful ball. There's times where he needs to be more aggressive. You know, so I think I see a lot of Derek Carr in Justin Herbert.
Okay. I don't know if I like the answer, but okay.
Fantastic.
Okay. We are reached 30 minutes. That's amazing. I would like to thank you so much, Ted. We really invite, we basically, we were talking about Alberto was talking to you like in the weekend, and then, oh, of course, yes, like, really?
Let's do it.
Are you sure? Yeah, so
as I told Ted on our chat, I just tried an Hail Mary, and at first it didn't seem like it landed, but actually I put an Aaron Rodgers on him, and so we had this fantastic conversation, and we're really, really happy that you came along.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks. Those were great questions. I had a lot of fun discussing football with you guys, and we'll talk later down the line.
Thank you so much. Ed. Whenever you want, you can be our guest. Any schedule works.
And guys, especially the Italian guys who didn't know Ted, go subscribe to The Athletic. Go subscribe to the State of the Nation pod if you're a Raiders fan, and follow him because he's really one of the best in the business.
He's good. He's really good. also, The Athletic right now is like 50% off, so $30. It can be done. So thank you so much, Ted. And we will go out on Wednesday. So it's nothing else. See you next time. Bye.
Yeah, see you next time.